Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show presents the Equimedical Health Monthly Report, a show about your health. Everything you want to know.
Keep going.
Everything you want to know, everything you don't know, and everything you need to know about healthy eating, healthy living, and a spiritual lifestyle. And here to introduce our dynamic duo, the ministers of health and wellness, is our own hosted with the mostest, Miss Renee. Good afternoon, and how are you doing today, Miss Renee?
Reverend Radio Ray, I am fine. Unfortunately, we must be having some technical difficulties. Our guests are not on right now. And unfortunately, this is their special time. And so is it something that's on your mind right now, sir?
Well, you know, this show is about health, eating healthy, talking about farming, starting your own personal farming plot, and also the Equimedical Health with Brother Commissioner Coach Ray Smith and Pastor Willie W. Duvall at Pastor's Word of God Community Church that's located in Bladensburg. So those two have given the charge to work with seniors and persons with disability and being able to teach them how to have a better eating regimen. And so they talk about a lot of things that you should eat. They have a program every Monday of the month, and it's located at Word of God Community Church that hosts it, that house the program. They don't run the program, but they have that program there, and all is invited. It's every Monday at 7 o'clock p.m. East Coast time, and that address is 4109 Bladensburg, then Bladensburg, but it's 4109 Edmonston Road. And that's in Bladensburg, Maryland. And if you want to call Coach Smith, his number is 240-687-5725. Again, that's 240-687-5725. And he'd be more than happy to share with you the programs that they have. And they have been given a charge, and they have several organizations, Kaiser and some other health organizations that help fund the program, because they realize that it's so many what we call desert spots food deserts. Yeah, and the food desert, from my understanding, is where you don't have wholesome locations or establishments that sells how we say more nourishing food. They have too many fast food locations. That fast food is really not the best for you. So they talk a lot about the desert food areas, and unfortunately Prince George County is considered one of, and some of the areas of desert food area. So they are trying to educate people as well as draw the interest of companies such as Whole Foods, such as Wegmans, to come into Prince George County providing wholesome and nutritional food. So that's some of the things that they talk about. They go out in the community. They work with a number of senior citizens organizations and senior citizens buildings in terms of training and doing presentations about health and exercise, as well as they donate a number of things. They had one donation where they donated tennis shoes to all the seniors where they can get out and walk and start getting that heart rate up. And then they have on their staff is Miss Harley. She is their life coach and nutrition person that comes on and talk about proper eating, the type of rest you need. You have to get your proper rest, the amount of water that you need to drink, and just simple exercises. I mean, everybody don't have the kind of funds to join a gym and go up and have the transportation to either go to the gym or maybe not even have the time, but they can share with you, Ms. Harley, can share with you just some of the simple things that you can do to get your heart rate going, walking, and those kind of things in your eating habits. We're still in the first quarter of the year, and we know in the beginning of the year, after coming off that holiday, last quarter of the year, Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, that we all saw the first quarter of the year, which we're still in, about how we're going to change our eating habits. We're going to lose 20, 30, 40, 50 pounds, and we're going to be walking and all. And so we're still in that quarter. Some people are still being on their schedule, and then unfortunately there's a lot of people who have not seen the gym since the first week of January. So, Ms. Renee, on that scale, I know you have some resolutions along with all the rest of us, and how is your health resolution or your what you need to lose and what you in the weight in terms of weight and what you need to gain in terms of exercise. So did you fall into that same resolution of game?
Well, it's sort of an abyss that you fall into. But Reverend Ray, let me just speak that, you know, I didn't set myself up with a real hardcore plan. I knew that I had I could afford to lose 40 or 50 pounds, and having said that, I decided to do it more gradually. Now, I haven't done a lot toward that, but I also am not discouraged yet. You know, the spring is here, and we'll be able to get out more often, and so I'm certainly mindful of that. But I want to go back to one of the challenges for a person when you talk about these food deserts, and that is that low-income populations, communities, are full of fast food options. You know, they've got any kind of food, fast food business in the community. And my question is, should we legislate as a community? Should we become an activist to ask that those that we be limited, that only a certain number come in, and that on the other hand, with a certain number coming in, that there be more options for fruit and vegetables and other healthy options? Do you think that that's viable to ask the community to rally against having so many fast food establishments in your community?
I do. And let me say again, this is SightAndVisionRadio.com presenting the Ecumenical Health Monthly Report, and our guest host is usually Commissioner Ray, Coach Ray Smith, and Pastor Willie W. Duvall, who is on assignment right now. They appear to be, and so me, Reverend Ray Razor, and Miss Renee is hosting, and just say they are heard here every fourth Friday, 3 p.m. to 3:30, and that's on blogtalkradio.com/marketingpulpit. And to your question, Ms. Renee, yeah, I think that's one of the things that the Ecumenical Help is charged with, to educate people, because if you don't know, you don't know. But to go into the community to educate people about health, where they need to get nourishing food from and all. And so once they people are educated about the type of food they should eat and all and their health, then I think they can become advocates for themselves. And then when they get involved in their local government and issues come up, you know, whatever your municipality is, and that city council is holding a meeting, because the city council and the local government, they don't just automatically let a fast food place come in. Any business that's going to come in or anything that's going on, first that it is proposed to your local government, and that could be a city council, whatever the name they give them, and then there's a hearing at the meeting, and then there's a hearing. So there's processes that happen. So if people are educated about their rights and all, then they'll know that, hey, you know, because of McDonald's is going to go up. Well, I don't want to call names, I'm sorry. But if a fast food place or too many is going up in that community, they don't just happen overnight. There's a procedure. So if people understand that they can get involved with their procedure and vote and talk to their council people, whoever their representatives are on a local level, they can say, no, we don't want these places in our community that's not beneficial to the residents. So yeah, I think the residents should have a lot to say about it, but unfortunately, a lot of times they don't know how to go about getting the right justice or the right representation for themselves.
And, you know, too often I think that politicians forget that they work for the people, and oftentimes they're looking at the tax benefit, they're looking at, you know, added foot volume in their county, which will also lend itself to more revenue and commerce. But I think that sometimes we have to weigh that against what's good for the community. But let me, you know, you introduced Coach and Pastor Willie W. Duvall in absentia, but I want to ask you a question. Why is health, or should health concerns be lodged in the church? Is that a place for health concerns?
Well, you know, Ms. Renee, one of the things you often say is the church is the last
bastion.
The term you use?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of gluttony. That's in the Bible, therefore, people that come that say they often use the term fellowship, but around the fellowship, instead of fellowship around the word that's taught out of the Bible, that also is coupled and anonymous with food. So we find ourselves in the churches eating food and not always healthy food. So a lot of the pastors and the leaderships do not represent physically the temple that God has meant for the Holy Spirit to dwell in, our temple. And so we now start to recognize that in the church, it's okay to have the prayer breakfast that, you know, raises money for the church, the church needs money, or the community day and have, you know, all the cotton candy and hot dogs and all of this out there. And those things are wonderful, but we're going to have to also educate our faith-based organizations that now they're more healthy choices, and we have to introduce those healthy choices, because now I'm not naming any names, but how often that in the morning on Sunday that churches and you know, they accommodate and their members by providing coffee is fine, juice is fine, but and water is fine, and tea is fine, hot tea, but when they start introducing donuts, you know, all type of donuts and that kind of thing, that just sort of and it's just so hard to see a donut sitting next to a health bar. I mean, you know, it's just so
yeah.
And so we're going to have to start training and educating our faith-based membership about the eating. And so it's going to have to come from the church. I mean, you know, it's nice every now and then to have a fish fry and have a pork roast, or they used to call it bull roast, and excuse me, and pancakes in the morning, and you know, all of those kind of traditional fundraisers that the churches usually hold.
Well, you know, you asked me about my own personal journey in terms of losing weight, and I have a friend named Rick Kay, and I always quote Rick, and he talks about small, simple changes. And I think that sometimes we have to remember that we didn't get this to this point personally overnight. And certainly the church didn't get to the fish fries, the chicken fries, all of those things overnight. But again, to begin to introduce a healthy alternative. You're right. It's hard to go for the fruit when you see the donuts sitting there next to the fruit, especially if we've built up these kinds of bad habits. So we've talked about the faith community and how it relates to Black health. But let me jump forward a little bit. Foodways is the name that they use for the intersection of food and culture, tradition, and history. Mm-hmm. Now, this is Black History Month. Do you see a link between Black health and Black History Month?
Well, yes, I do. I really do. And in teaching Black history, you know, we had our own culture coming from another country, being brought here as slaves. We lost a lot of our culture. And then the type of food that was given to us as we were slaves on the plantation, and, you know, and what was left over. And I think we, you know, in the future would dedicate a show to trace the food habits of our foreparents coming from the country they came from, why they ate the things they did, how did the food and the diet that they had give them the energy, the strength, the, you know, and everything to cause them to have the kind of health they had. And then once they arrived in this country as enslaved people living in the South, in some parts of the North, and they didn't have a choice in, you know, in the food that they ate. But the food that they did eat, how did that over a period of time, you know, became the diet of Blacks that live in this country now. And so that will be interesting to trace. How it came to be, because now I don't think anyone that has a family do not have someone in their family that had diabetes, had high blood pressure, that at least everybody knows someone now that's on dialysis. And 5 or 7 years ago, you know, you didn't know a personal person on dialysis by name. So therefore, over a period of years, 150, that 200 years of slavery and all, it caused our diets, and maybe in the combination of us not exercising then, because when we did was enslave people and lived on the plantation, God knows we worked from sun up to sundown. So coupled with all of that, and like I say, in the future, we certainly would like to do a show to tease out and reveal how our health got to where it is now from crossing the ocean.
Well, you know, traditionally African-American diets were said to be based on the leftovers of the crops and the animal slaughtering. But in spite of that, you know, some life-sustaining recipes were developed. And then I believe personally that in conjunction with some other poor food choices that the metric and the African American community were certainly affected, as you said, in high metrics in the things we don't want to be high in, and that would be diabetes and hypertension, et cetera, et cetera. But I do want to put a plug in here for the African American Museum of History and Culture here in Washington, D.C. On the fourth floor, they began to explore food ways. And so it's always good to look back at how did we get to where we are today. So, Reverend Ray, why don't you let listeners know to whom they are listening? And then I've got a couple more wrap-up questions, and then we will we'll look to see where our
Alrighty. So this is SightAndVisionRadio.com that presents the Ecumenical Health Council monthly report, and they are a organization, nonprofit organization that go out into the community, talk about healthy living, healthy eating, and a spiritual lifestyle. And our guest host of that show is Commissioner Coach Ray Smith, and also our Pastor Willie W. Duvall. So, Ms. Renee, I might have one of them on my other line, so go ahead and share something.
Well, we've talked a little bit about what needs to happen in the community, and that is the role of the Ecumenical Health Council. They have begun to focus on.
Ms. Renee,
what's going
I think we
on.
Have Coach on the line, but he's muted.
Okay, well, we're gonna wrap up here. Unfortunately, we have just a few minutes left in this segment. But what the Ecumenical Health Council has done is began to attack the problem systemically, and it is a systemic problem when there is not a when there are food deserts, when there are fewer options for healthy food than there are for fast food. And also along those lines, Reverend Ray, you know, each of us is trying to change our diets, and they tell us that we should not be shopping the interior of the grocery store, those inside aisles. We should have very limited of our food dollars going there. We should be shopping the perimeter of the store, which is where the dairy is located, which are where some of the meats are located, which are where some of the frozen vegetables are located. And we should also be spending the bulk of our dollars in the fresh vegetable and fruit section. However, having said that, we also need to look at why it is cheaper to purchase other items than it is to buy fresh fruits and vegetables at the same time.
Okay. Are you able to unmute the coach?
I can try to do that.
Okay.
Let me see if I can do that, Reverend Ray. Reverend Ray, I am sorry. I witnessed a horrible thing while we have been on the show. There was a family that has just been evicted, and people are now out there pouring over their personal items. And I'm very upset right now, very, very upset.
Okay.
So let me see if I can get Coach on. There he is.
There we go.
Oh, hey, sorry about that, sir.
That's quite all right. That's quite all right. I've been on since 3:03, so I've heard pretty much the whole show. You guys covered a great deal, and you're absolutely right about a lot of the issues that we're facing, and not only at the church level, but just in our society. But Renee, one of the things you just mentioned, and I want to share this, one of the reasons why a lot of people don't go to those outer aisles is because of timing. Today, our people are everything is timed to the point where they want to get everything fast and furious. Everybody wants everything right away. You know, when it comes down to cooking, that's quality. That spells time. And people have lost the essence of being able to cook and spend time with their families. Families don't sit down and eat meals together anymore. Everybody has their own agenda. So everybody's flying all over the place. And that's and that's systemic. The system process that's been in place for quite a few years. We've lost that zeal of family. And that's one of the things the Ecumenical Health Council is really, identifying, even to the point where, in our communities now, of course, we have farms, we also have gardens, and people are purchasing them, and people are growing their own foods, and they're putting these things into their families, and, some people are actually getting back into that concept, but a lot of families are still on that same agenda. Everything has to be done right away, and everybody's moving, and they're not sitting there eating in the car. They're eating on a run, So that's one of the concepts that's been really hurtful for our families, and that's one of the reasons why the obesity concept of overweight and all the other the chronic illnesses that we face we're dealing with. And even the same thing applies at the church. I mean, you think about it, even at the church level, as you indicated. They're only there for a few moments, and of course that fellowship does spell food as well. But what are you providing? And people don't want to get away from what they want. They want the pig feet and the chitlins and all that kind of stuff because they're so used to that. That's a part of our culture.
One of my professors used to say, "You like what you eat, and you eat what you like." So we've got to change those taste buds. We've got to get away from what those.
But Renee, all that takes time. All that takes time. And you have to cultivate that, because that's a cultivation that has to be again systemically. Just like we've been systemically, gathering of what we call food scraps for years, and we're still doing that. I mean, when you started thinking about, the concept of children coming home from school and not eating a comfortable meal, what they're eating is the ramen noodles. How high in sodium is that? But it's quick, it's easy. All you do is throw it in some boiling water, and these kids feel like they got a meal.
That's true.
We have 60 seconds for you to make your final reminder to audiences, to our listeners, and then we will come back and follow up on this next month. What are your final words, Coach, to our listeners?
Well, Renee, you mentioned something earlier that you and I talked about with regarding this concept of food stamps, and I know it's a whole different agenda. But when you start looking at that, those food stamps are generally positioned for just food alone. You can't buy other products with it. So, again, you're talking about an economic situation where we have to be mindful of how and what we're using our funding for. And, again,
we're going to talk about that next month. Yeah, we are definitely
But the biggest thing is,
do you want to close us out, Reverend Ray?
But we're definitely going to talk about this next month. Sorry about the technical problem, but this is Sight and Vision Presents Ecumenical.
you, Ray. Thank you, Renee.
You're welcome, sir.
Yeah, so we're off the air now?